In bluegrass music, the first superstar band was Bill Monroe's entire band of 1946. Mr. Monroe, Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs, Chubby Wise and Cedric Rainwater, they were big stars on the Grand Ole Opry. They were young, so was bluegrass, and it worked.
Oh, I was lost in the darkness and I wandered astray, with no one to help me along on my way, until I heard Jesus calling, saying, come unto me. Now I'm traveling on and on.
And these days in Nashville, there is a new bluegrass band. It is called 1946, hoping to sound just as spirited as Bill Monroe's group.
Oh, I was lost in the darkness and I wandered astray, with no one to help me along on my way, until I heard Jesus calling, saying, come unto me. Now I'm traveling on and on.
Lord, I'm
traveling on
by the help
of my Savior. I can never more stray, for Jesus leads the way.
And my loved ones are waiting at the end of my journey.
My journey.
Oh, Lord, I'm
traveling on and on.
David Peterson is the founder of 1946. He plays mandolin and sings lead. Peterson says if you're going to do the old songs, it helps to dress the part on stage.
I had to look all over Nashville. We have a lot of vintage clothing stores in town. And I just decided to start going in there and looking for some of these old neckties from the 40s, the ones that were kind of short and fat.
Right.
People, you know, I've had people tell me, man, you're not tying your tie long enough. And I said, well, no, that's as long as it goes.
Yeah.
It's so I was able to find quite a few nice old ties around town. And also I found some old Homburgs, some old hats that they wore, very nice looking slacks and shirts, and made sure we tried to put our best foot forward, you know. And
well, that
it seems to work. So.
That was true, was it not, of Mr. Monroe? He really wanted his people on stage to make a nice presentation.
I think what he wanted more than anything, I've read about this and heard him say things, was that he didn't want people to view it as a rube music. He didn't want it to be disrespected. He didn't want people to look down their noses and it to be a stereotypical type of thing. He wanted people to respect the music as a professional art form, and I think he really accomplished that.
Let's play Blue Yodel Number 3. This is your version of it, and then we'll just actually crossfade into the Bill Monroe 1946 version of that. Was it 1946 they recorded it?
Yes, right in that era.
She's telling me, don't you know, hand down.
When you come to the sort of show-off ending harmony of a song like In Foggy Old London on your CD, how hard is it to get this particular bluegrass harmony right and make it true to those who have gone before?
What we had to do, and what any band that hopes to do well, has to be a stickler for detail. You have to just sit there and do vocal rehearsals when the rest of the band isn't there. You get your trio together or your quartet, whatever it is on the material that you're trying to work on, and you just have to go back over it and over it and over it again until every note is in harmony. Nobody's crossing anybody's part. It's three-part harmony the entire way, and you ingrain it in your mind and in your heart how it's supposed to go. You have to work at it.
Must feel good when you get it.
It feels very good. It does something to your eardrum. It reverberates. You know when you're hitting that harmony right, it's just so satisfying and you can actually hear it.
And I fly like a bluebird up there in the sky. In foggy old London, I'll find my blue eyes. In foggy old London, I'll find my blue eyes. In foggy.
Thank you.